up, digital people, and welcome to the official episode zero of 2-Bit, the number one gaming podcast recorded inside my spare bedroom. With me as always, now and forever, Jose Murguia.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, actually. I've actually played some games this week, so I'm ready to talk
Me
about
too.
It.
I've played a total of like two games this week, so I think I'm doing pretty good.
Awesome.
So first, I kind of want to take a step back because we recorded our episode last week. Things didn't quite go as planned, even though we tried. We really did. So I just wanted to kind of backpedal and say, sorry for last week's episode. We're kind of getting everything figured out. The recording was kind of funky. There were some chunks that just got straight up cut out of the whole thing, and I didn't find out about that until later. That's why it became our episode negative one. And we're also just sort of, we're not audio engineers. We're not smart people. We're not particularly good at speaking. So hopefully you'll stay with us long enough to kind of get everything figured out.
All right. So last episode, we didn't really introduce ourselves. We wanted to at least give a little background on, you know, where we're from and how we pretty much met and now why we're doing this now. So
yeah. So I'm Scott. That's me. This is my voice. I have the deeper, more stupid voice. I was born and raised in Indiana. Met Jose in sixth grade. We've been friends since. When I graduated high school, kind of moved around a lot, traveled a lot. Eventually, after about 5 years out of state, came back to basically live stress-free. I was in California. That was a big bummer. It was a lot of bad things going on, so I came back. What about you?
I'm Jose. I'm originally from LA, and then moved to Indiana when I was 11. Pretty much met Scott in sixth grade and graduated high school. Known each other for, 10 years now?
Yeah, it's been 10 years. So we met the first day of sixth grade, I think. You and our friend Jonathan were talking about Pokemon, whatever Pokemon game was out at the time.
I think it was Emerald.
Emerald?
Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah, because I remember still, I'm still actually a little salty about it, and I don't think you remember it, but I was saying, like, oh, I'm a really big fan of Mega Man. The first thing you said after that was, like, Pokemon Emerald's better.
Oh my god!
I was a little salty about that, and I'm like,
yeah, I don't remember that, but I don't know. I probably said that. Who knows?
Right now, I don't think you're wrong per se, but you know.
Yeah, I remember getting there first day of sixth grade. I'm nervous. I'm a little chubby boy, and I see two other little chubby boys over in this little area talking about Pokemon, so I went over and joined them, and that spot kind of became our spot in the courtyard for the next couple of years, basically.
Yeah.
And we're still friends with Jonathan as well. He's not much of a gamer. We might bring him on one day just to get a different perspective on games.
And talk about Reptoids.
What are Reptoids?
Reptilian people.
Oh, yeah. He's real big into pseudo-conspiracy theories. He doesn't really believe them, or at least I hope he doesn't.
I hope he does.
But I know he loves to talk about the Illuminati and lizard people and stuff like that. But yeah, Jose and I met in sixth grade, been friends since. So yeah, it's been about a decade now. And, you know, we've lived in the same state. We've been, you know, 200 miles apart, 2,000 miles apart. I also accidentally stabbed him once, which
trying to record some raps that we were doing, fresh rhymes.
Some fresh rhymes. And maybe we'll get into that on a future episode if anyone's actually interested. But yeah, so we just kind of want to take a step back and, like I said, introduce ourselves and kind of let you know. If you hear my dog barking at all, it's because I've put her outside to hopefully not hurt the recording, and maybe that won't work.
Her name's Penny.
Yeah, her name is Penny. So also, we kind of wanted to talk about what the general premise of the podcast is. Obviously, it's video games or comic books or movies, music, whatever we really want. But I guess the biggest thing is each episode, we kind of want to bring pretty much anything that interests us to the table. Like one of my things that I've talked to Jose about is my love of EGM magazine. So maybe one week I'll do, you know, a little section about some research I did about EGM, or maybe one day Jose will come and talk to me about the Cool Spot game on Super Nintendo and all the cool stuff behind that I don't know. Just to kind of mix things up every week instead of just talking about new news and rumors and all of that. That'll still be part of it, but we kind of want to mix it up a little bit.
But yeah, like A little more about me. I like Mega Man a lot. So
he loves Mega Man.
That'll probably come out, come up a lot. Maybe a lot, probably not really, but yeah. I'm still a little.
I think it'll probably come up a lot. Yeah. Probably every episode. But speaking of, didn't you just buy the Mega Man Legacy Collection?
Oh, yeah.
And again?
Like, yeah. And like as soon as I like popped it in, I guess.
Digitally.
Yeah, I jumped in straight to Mega Man 3 because it's one of my favorites. And I was like, oh man, this is great. And I realized that there's still a lot of, they kept a lot of the things from the original, from the NES version.
Mm-hmm.
And like the slowdowns there, like you would see like little bits of screen tearing and like if there's too many sprites on the.
So they ported everything, including the like glitches and errors and stuff.
Yeah.
Nice.
Which I think it's pretty cool because Mega Man's hard.
Yeah, and that's why I haven't played it
a lot.
Yeah, I never got into Mega Man just because I was terrible at it and am terrible at it. That really hasn't changed at all.
But I'm still a little upset over the fact that they only have Mega Man 1 through, at least I think it's Mega Man 1 through 6, and they didn't get 7, 8, and I don't really care about 9 or 10, but I'm a little upset about that. Even though they weren't the best games, I still have like Mega Man 7.
Bring up your mic a little bit so people can hear you, gotcha. your amazing voice a how little bit better. I think that's good.
Is it good?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So how many copies of Mega Man do you own?
Oh, man. Like the original?
Of all, how many Mega Man games do you own, period?
I own all the Mega Man X games, and that's not including the Mega Man X collection.
Mm-hmm.
And I still need to find another copy of Mega Man X 3. That's like one of the most expensive ones for Super Nintendo.
Why is it expensive? Just hard to find?
Or? Yeah, I guess so. I don't really know. Like I personally like the original Mega Man X over the other 2 and 3 for Super Nintendo. But and then I own Mega Man 2, 3, 4, and 5. But I don't own the first one. And I own 7, 8, 9, and 10. And then, obviously, a few of the ones that come in the Mega Man Anniversary Collection from the arcade release and stuff, but...
So you own a couple dozen, basically.
Yeah, and then, like, obviously, like I pretty much own the mainstream ones, the ones that came out for, like, DS and all that stuff, but...
All right, so aside from Mega Man, you said you actually played games this week, right?
Yeah, I started catching up more on Dark Souls 3.
Mm-hmm.
Because the new DLC came out, Ashes of Arendelle.
Ashes Are Us.
Ashes Are Us. Get your ashes on sale.
We'll smoke your Christmas. Body, baby. Yeah.
But you know how Dark Souls DLC works?
No.
So you can beat the game, and it'll send you to New Game Plus. But the DLC, you actually have to go to a certain part of the game to access it.
Yeah.
So I haven't beat Dark Souls 3 yet, so I'm still trying to beat it so I can get back into the DLC. So I think I'm like level 70 something at like.
Oh my gosh! How many hours have you put into Dark Souls?
I want to say like probably 40-ish, maybe.
Okay, 50-ish. That's not too bad. I thought you were gonna say like 100 or so.
Well, I mean the lot of it is because I was looking for a certain armor set, but bought the DLC. I'm getting to a certain part of it just so I can get to the DLC part.
So what is the DLC?
I don't know.
Actually, you know nothing about it?
I haven't looked anything. I'm going in blind because I usually, like with Dark Souls,
mm-hmm.
I usually watch a playthrough before it because I like to know the lore and stuff. But this time I'm going in blind just to mess with it, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of how I like to. That's pretty much how I like to do everything now is I go in not knowing any of the hype, not knowing anything about it. Like that's how I do any of the movies I look forward to because I know any hype I give anything, it's not going to live up to it. And sometimes I just don't do any research because I want it to be like a whole new experience when it gets to me other than just sort of looking everything up and finding everything out about it beforehand. Mm-hmm. I think we talked about it last week. I got back into Fallout 4.
Oh, yeah? How's that going?
Pretty great, I think. I started playing again a lot after our last podcast, and I probably put another like 10 hours into it or something throughout the week. I had like a 4-day weekend, so that's been nice. But I can't even tell if I like it. It checks a lot of boxes for me, you know what I mean?
Not really, no. I mean, I walked in and I saw you playing the Nuka World
DLC. Yeah, Nuka World DLC, yeah.
And it just looked like Fallout to me, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Like, it just looks the same to me, but
I think from the outside, yeah, it all kind of blurs together. When I say checking boxes, it's like I don't know if I'm enjoying playing or
is
if it's
a,
just
is a sweet rocket hammer in that checklist.
Yeah, or... I do have a sweet nuclear powered rocket hammer, so that's been fun. But as I'm playing, I don't know if it's just sort of ticking off the boxes in my head that give me like, oh, you did something, you completed it, you might want to do that again. So as I'm doing quests and everything, and I'm finishing all these side quests and doing every optional part of the quest, it's ticking something off in my head that's like, good job, keep going. So I just play and play and play, but I don't know if I'd be like, I'm having fun right now.
Huh.
So I don't know, but I think I am. Sometimes I look at it and I'm like, oh, this game's beautiful. It's super beautiful. It's fun to run around, and I don't even care how many, you know, random houses I go in. It's always interesting to see what's in there. So I don't know. I'm having fun with it.
Have you tried any of the mods yet? Or?
Oh yeah. So we talked about that too. I looked into the mods on PS4. I signed up with my Bethesda account, which I never had a reason to have.
Wait, you had to sign up for a Bethesda account?
Yeah. So you can't even view any of the mods, let alone install them, without a Bethesda account. So I had to create one.
Like
sign
through
in.
The browser or like through.
I had to do it on my phone because it only gives you an option to log in. Yeah, so because
I mean, I remember when Metal Gear Solid 4 came out, they had the whole Metal Gear Online stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You had to sign up through the PS3 browser.
Yeah, I don't dig that.
Dumb.
Yeah, with me, I went on my phone, did it, and came back and logged in, and then there were maybe like a dozen mods or so, not a lot, obviously, and. All of the descriptions, would they describe what was in the mod, and then they'd say, I don't know if this works on PS4. It's super limited, so who knows if it works. But the only mods that are really there is, hey, would you like green trees and green grass? And I was like, yeah, kind of, but is that really worth like giving up my trophies and whatever? Because you don't get any trophies when you have mods on, because it's like, you know, enabling cheats in GTA or something.
Well,
I
thought they're like mostly like going for like cosmetic or like graphical mods.
Yeah, that's all they were really.
And they cancel like achievements.
Yeah,
that,
no matter what trophies. The mod is, yeah, it tells you right when you go into the mod section, hey, you can't get any trophies. I think it might mess with your progress as well. And I think, you know, if you can save, I think that would screw up your saves. So I didn't really delve any deeper into that. I saw something about companions. I'm sure there's something to make your companions naked, maybe.
I was about to say, like, if you can give, like, your sweet robot butler some nice baps.
Yeah, and I don't think that was an option. And I really didn't care too much about green grass and trees, although I was kind of interested. So I really gave that up pretty quickly. So that's kind of it for mods. What else did you hit up? I know you said Dark Souls.
At Dark Souls, and then I played some more Pokemon.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Pokemon S&M.
Pokemon S&M. But this one isn't really grabbing me. Like people are like loving it.
Yeah,
I'm like,
it sounds
I don't
like,
know why I'm falling off of this one so fast.
I think people are really praising it, and I don't know if it's because they kind of had that. Didn't they have the interim with Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire? Maybe I got those wrong.
Those are it.
Those came in between X and Y and Sun and Moon,
X and
right?
Y, and then Omega Ruby.
Yeah, so that was that was kind of like a weird port/remake thing.
Well, that's what they usually do nowadays, because they did like a Heart Gold and Soul Silver.
Yeah.
Before Black and White.
Oh yeah, I guess that's
like
true.
That,
I've kind of fallen off, so I don't keep as much, you know, into it. But so it's just not getting you.
I mean, I'm playing it, but it feels like a slow burn to me. But
which starter did you pick? You picked Popplio, right?
No, I picked the cat, Litten.
Litten. Has it evolved yet? Or?
Yeah, I got it to like its last one, Incineroar.
That's what Incineroar?
Incineroar.
Like incinerate
and
then
roar. Like a cat.
Cats
or
roar
cat,
all the time.
A really big cat. Like
a large
tiger cat.
I get that. I understand.
But it's a wrestler.
What does
like
that mean?
Like a pro wrestler, like a.
So it's no longer a cat.
Like think of like, I'm gonna do a weird one here. Goldberg.
Yep.
But in cat form.
So he has a goatee.
Yeah, he does. Well, he has like cat whiskers and stuff, and he has one attack where I haven't unlocked it yet, but it's he pops up like a fire ring, like a wrestling ring made out of fire, and he jumps up on top of the
turnbuckle.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, the corner.
Yeah, the corner. And then the trainer pumps both of her fingers up in the air, and then he just drops.
So does he have like Speedo underwear on?
No, he's wearing like a muscle, a cut off muscle shirt, but made out of fur. It's amazing. That's what that's the reason so why wait, I didn't do Popplio.
Yeah, I think the other thing, I don't know if you saw this at all, but did you see people complaining about the glitch in the game?
I did not know.
So a bunch of people were saying they were, you know, getting at Game Freak or Nintendo saying, hey, there's a glitch that causes my character to kind of go in and out of frame, and then eventually the bottom screen just kind of becomes dormant and black, so you can't even use it. And they were like, well, yeah, we don't know why that's happening. That's really weird. And so the creator of a save editing software called PKHEX, I think is the name, PKHEX, which is a save editing software for the games, came out and said, oh, it's not a glitch in the game. You cheated. So that's why this is happening.
Oh, so they're talking about like the other people that are trying to like just get through glitches through the game, or
yeah. So with the software, I guess what you can do is go in, and it's kind of like you remember how you could duplicate with like the PCs and the Game Boy Color games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's a save editing software, so you can change like which Pokemon you have and everything like that. Add it to your save. And the creator of this software said, "Oh, you guys are all just cheaters. Don't blame Nintendo for this." And even said this was a known bug, like he had put it out there that this would happen, because I guess what it does is it glitches your character's coordinates, so that's why your character kind of flashes on and off the screen, and then the game freaks out and just shuts off the bottom screen, which is very fun.
But I mean, like, speaking about similar stuff like that, there has performance problems. I mean, I get it, it's a DS game,
isn't it working just fine on the new 3DS? Yeah.
And that's what kind of bugged me about it, because I mean X and Y had its issues too, and you would turn on the 3D and then the frame rate would drop during battles.
Yeah.
And now it just happens without the 3D, which I haven't even turned on to see if it actually works or not, but it's a little annoying because it takes like upwards 3 seconds for your attack to register.
Really?
And you're just waiting with the black bottom screen.
Believe me, I know all about slowdown with Fallout 4. When I turn that game on, I go and make dinner. I wait for that 18-minute load the beginning to start it up. And then, you know, every time there's a door, I do a couple of crunches and just get swole on it. The other thing I saw was, did you see that crazy Pokemon card?
Which one?
The
one that sold for like, was it 5K or was it more than that?
No, it was way more than that. So
55?
it was the Pikachu Illustrator card, which was never for sale. It had been won in a contest. Well, a couple of contests, I guess it was 39 contests, or 39 copies among two contests. Sorry, I was way off, guys. And they used to sell for like $23,000 in the early 2000s. And this one actually just sold for $54,970.
Jesus Christmas.
So over $50,000 for this card. And they only know of 9 that still exist in the world. Wow. So it's like a national treasure type thing now.
Like the whole, like the golden Nintendo cartridge.
What's
the Nintendo Championship one?
Yeah, exactly. I think that sold for even way, way more than this stuff. But yeah, so that's. That kind of blew my mind, because I remember once I had a French Poliwag card.
Really?
Yeah, and I traded that for a N64 controller with a wobbly joystick, and I was like, haha, I got you.
All I had were like the Japanese cards that you get at like the swap meets out in California, and you just buy them like, oh, these are so cool. They have like some ancient scriptures on them.
And then you realize that, oh, everyone overseas has these, and it's not a big deal at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was fun. I remember, speaking of N64 controllers, I don't know why I thought of this, but one of my biggest gets ever is my friend Michael, which I actually brought up on the last podcast, I think. he sold me his Nintendo 64 for like $50 or something, and I remember going home, and in the cartridge slots where like the rumble pack would go on the controller, there was Pokemon Crystal in it. He had
on the back part.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't remember what that was called.
See, let me interrupt you for a minute. See, by the story that you told last week, I thought you were going to say something else, that you found something else in the cartridge, like some, like just some hard drugs.
Well, see, hold on. So you're getting confused. That was Tyler.
Okay. Wait, we talked about Michael last time?
I brought him up. I don't remember but I brought him up pretty shortly. But yeah, you're thinking of Tyler. I also remember talking to my girlfriend and being like, I need to make sure to not be too specific or say any last names.
Don't worry. I'm sure there's a lot of Tylers here in Indianapolis.
And I'm sure we only have 4 listeners, so I don't really think it's going to be an issue.
None of them from Indiana, hopefully.
Exactly. But yeah, I was pretty stoked on that. The other thing I did this week, was I checked out the Steep beta. Have you played Steep, or have you seen that
at
all?
I have not heard what Steep is, actually.
So Steep, I kept seeing a ton of it on like Reddit and just a bunch of GIFs online and everything, or GIFs. Don't yell at me.
I appreciate it's GIFs.
And so I decided to look into it when I found out they had a beta on the PS4. So I went ahead and downloaded it, and Steep is basically Ubisoft's answer to Skate, but in the snow, if that makes any sense.
Huh.
So basically, it's an all-around snow game.
Sledding,
so
skiving.
No sledding. I wish damn. Sledding and skiving was part of it.
What was what's the other one that goes super fast and you have to like use your hands?
Luging,
yeah.
I don't think you use your hands, and I think you're thinking of like Rocket Power when you were young and they did street luge and stuff.
Wiggity wiggity wiggity.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus. But no, so it has snowboarding, skiing, paragliding, which is like, you know, that parachute that's really wide, so you can kind of paraglide around.
How is that related to snow?
You do it on a snowy mountain, I guess.
Okay, that sounds dangerous, but okay.
And then there's also wingsuiting, wearing a wingsuit and just flying through the trees and stuff. And then my favorite, walking.
Like hiking?
it allows you, if you want to get to a certain spot on the mountain that you can't really reach by snowboarding there or skiing there, like say you want to go uphill, then you can walk. And the walking seemed the most realistic because it was like the guy had to use his hands if he was going up something super steep. Oh, the title.
Oh.
But yeah, that was fun. So it basically, like I said, it's kind of their answer. If someone was like, well, let's do Skate, which people love. Well, a lot of people seem to love, but we want to do it in the snow. So it's a lot more realistic in terms of the tricks and controls and stuff. It has a huge emphasis on speed, which I think is, you know, it's steep, so you go fast.
Right.
I get it. There's also some sort of leveling system. So you earn XP for the different challenges you do. There are different points on the mountain. It's basically like an open world ski game and snowboarding and all that. So you do different missions and stuff. It's pretty much races, tricks, all that stuff you would expect.
And you said it was a beta?
Yeah, so it's in beta right now.
And is it getting like a full release? Like a full release? Oh.
Yeah.
Is it getting like a retail copy or?
Yeah, so it's going to be a full-on game by Ubisoft. And I mean, if the hype is anything, then I think it's going to do pretty well. The only things that I didn't love about it is it has Ubisoft's like patented climb up to a really high spot and then look out and we'll mark all of your objectives, like Assassin's Creed style. Which I don't love, but I get there's not too many other ways to do that. And the only other thing I did love this. They say stuff like, sick air and fresh powder.
Fresh powder?
Some stuff like that. So that's kind of fun. But yeah, I don't really know a ton about it. I played it for a little while. It seems to rely heavily on fast travel. Because, like I said, you can't really snowboard up a mountain for the most part. So it's basically a lot of me going to the map, picking a point, and restarting there. Like, it definitely was fun. It seems like it'd be a really chill game.
And does it, like, spawn you at the bottom of the hill or the mountain?
No,
there... You have to climb it, or does it take you to the top?
It'll take you to the top. So generally, you have, like, these little hubs where, like, your crew's hanging out. And they're generally the spots that you can be the highest, so you can use your wingsuit or do whatever from there. It also takes you to different mission objectives and stuff like that. So, like I said, it seems like it could be really fun. I doubt I would pay $60 for it. It seems like a game I'd want to come home from, like a long day of work, and kind of sit down and chill out with that.
Well, when you said beta, I honestly thought it was going to be like a free-to-play kind of thing. And then just buy stuff.
Yeah, because...
Like was it Paragon? Is that
yeah,
thing?
Paragon.
Yeah.
Because I see a lot of... You know, there's obviously a lot of stuff that's... oh, you get this this certain outfit or, you know, this certain board. And I don't really know how the leveling works. I know I got to like level 2 or 3, but I don't know if that affects your player's stats or if you just kind of get prettier. Hmm. But that's pretty much it. That was pretty much all I played this week were those two games.
Yeah, well, I mean, really, same for me. I'm literally just waiting for Final Fantasy 15 now. I'm actually kind of like thinking of putting off the Dark Souls DLC just so I can play that.
Really? Are you one of those people who can only focus on like one game at a time, or do you switch up a lot?
When it's an RPG, I have to pick one. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like that with pretty much everything. Like, I can't play like Ratchet and Clank and then go into like Tomb Raider and then go into whatever else from that. I pretty much focus on. I also buy games. I think me and you, the hard part about loving games so much is we don't really buy them a ton. Right. Because we don't have a ton of money or a ton of time because we are just two working dudes.
Right. Well, like right now I'm sitting on like at least 10 games on my backlog.
Oh, and same here.
So I'm just like, well, I can probably use those and then talk about them.
Same. A lot of PS Plus games I still haven't gotten around to, and a lot of very cheap games. I just bought Dishonored 2, so I'm stoked. I'm getting that on Tuesday, and so we'll probably talk about it next week, but...
I'd like to hear about that, actually.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I've heard really good things, so I want to jump into it and kind of get into it. But on to the news.
All right,
cool. So the first thing is, most importantly, I know everyone's super stoked for them. They love them. They watch them every year. It's the Video Game Awards, which are now called just the Game Awards, I think. Yeah. They used to be called the VGAs.
VGAs.
And then it went to VGX. VGX. And now it's just the Game Awards. Hmm. So are you going to watch this year?
I'm probably going to. Like, I assume they stream them. Mm. So, yeah, I'm probably just going to watch them. But...
Yeah, so in the past...
Because they usually announce trailers, and I'm a sucker for, like, seeing people going, like, ah! Like, the Twilight Princess trailer that they announced. I thought that was crazy.
Well, I mean, I love the concept of Video Game Awards. Like, I think the industry needs an award show. I think it's very important that people are rewarded. Like, a lot of people put like blood, sweat, and tears into their games, especially like indie developers. And I know even a lot of like AAA developers, their teams like kill themselves to make these games. And I think it's nice that they get some sort of spotlight. It is great. It's not going to be on Spike TV this year.
Yeah, I was about
year.
To say, like, I'm glad it's not on Spike, because I don't, first of all, I don't even have cable anymore.
Yeah, same here.
And second of all, I mean, Spike.
Yeah, I'm just glad there's not going to be a ton of, like, dude bro jokes. Like, I'm glad I don't have to be a man while watching them. I can just be me, but I don't want to see 30 Axe commercials and then talk about how I need to, like, oh, the there's you could be doing so much other stuff. Let's drink a beer.
I think you might still see some Axe commercials.
I think so. It's streaming pretty much everywhere. I know on, like, I'll probably end up watching it on Twitch.
Or at least, like, some sort of advertisement.
I hope it's for other video games. Just a bunch of trailers for The Last Guardian or something. So the big things with those is, so first of all, Have you looked at any of the nominees or anything?
Yeah, actually.
So the Game of the Year nominees are thus: there's Doom, Inside, Overwatch, Titanfall 2, which I thought, oh, that seems like a late addition, mm-hmm. and Uncharted 4: A Thief's End. So out of those five, what do you think is gonna get it?
Honestly, couldn't say. Like, I'm extremely interested in Titanfall 2, which is really weird because I'm not really into shooters, but
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I feel really attracted to it, so I'm probably gonna say Titanfall 2.
That would be your pick, or do you think that's
that'd
going
be
to
my
win?
Pick. I honestly couldn't tell you which ones.
I think it has to be Overwatch.
Yeah.
I think if you took
Overwatch
in,
hit hard.
I think if you took in just about every stat that you could, it's gonna be Overwatch.
Right.
In terms of player retention, in terms of people talking positively about that game, like, it's so rare that you don't hear a ton of negative stuff about a game.
Right, like, even the community, from what I've heard, it's pretty good. I mean, yeah, you get, like, your... Every now and then you get a little asshole just run around there, but...
Yeah, I know whenever they do their free weekends, it's all you get, because it's a bunch of people who haven't committed to buying the game, so they just try it, and then you get called a bunch of terrible stuff. I love Doom. I got really into that. That obviously sparked this whole thing with, who was it, Bethesda as well with Doom?
What do you mean?
Who developed Doom or published it?
I think it was Bethesda.
I think it is. Yeah, because I know they came out with their whole thing of, hey, we're no longer going to send review copies, basically. Get it whenever we do, which, whatever, we won't get into that. But I love Doom. It definitely didn't get all of the attention it needed. Inside is the, like, it's kind of like a spiritual successor to Limbo.
Or, yeah. I've been wanting to play it because I played, like, Out of This World.
Mm-hmm.
For like the Super Nintendo and stuff like that, and I thought that was pretty fun when I was a kid. And then I loved Limbo, but I never beat it because I'm puzzles in my head. But
I have Limbo on like four different like consoles. I have it on Steam. I have it on my phone. I have it on PS3 and PS4. But Titanfall 2, people seem to love it. It kind of seems like when a movie comes out toward the end of Oscar season, basically, and then it's like, ah, we got to give that one in. I think it has a ton of fan hype, but the industry really isn't giving it any credit.
Yeah, well, I mean, it kind of came out, I feel like it came out like in the shadow of
Battlefield. Yeah, absolutely.
And that didn't really help it, but I've heard they're like actually supporting it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So like, I'm down for it.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked on that. I do think it is possible they might just give Uncharted 4 sort of like a send-off, you know, like, this was a great game. This is the end of the series, I presume. Right. It has the word end in the title. So that's what you would think. The other thing I noticed was, did you happen to look at the fan categories?
Yeah, actually. Because I was actually really interested in one of those games.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little bummed out that they did that, but I expected it in a way.
Yeah, so what Jose's talking about is it appears Nintendo may have played a role in removing two of the nominees from the best fan creation category, which were, they were AM2R, which is...
another Metroid remake, right?
Two remake, yeah.
And
the other one was, oh boy...
Pokemon Uranium,
yes. Which I don't think was really a surprise to anyone.
Yeah.
It's kind of Nintendo's MO when it comes to stuff like this.
Well, what I'm glad about is that at least they came out. And people are playing them.
Well, and I even looked up the creators of Pokemon Uranium, or the creator, I think it might have just been one guy, basically said, hey, don't be mad at Nintendo. It's their IP. Yeah. I get it. You know, it would have been great to receive some sort of award because I did put a lot of work into this. But definitely don't be mad at Nintendo. And I get where he's coming from. I just wish Nintendo seemed to support its fans a little more.
Yeah, because I know they have like they've had issues with like monetization and like YouTube videos and stuff like that with their stuff.
Yeah, a lot of copyright and trademark stuff with them. So it gets a little fuzzy there. I just kind of wish, even if they said, hey, you know, it was us who asked them to remove those games from that category,
right?
But we definitely appreciate that people love this so much and all that. Because I know at least AM2R received a cease and desist letter.
Yeah.
And I think Pokemon Uranium may have had the same thing. So they knew what they were getting into.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that they came out is they did the thing where that I love that they do is they don't tell anybody about it until it's out.
Exactly.
And that's what I like. Because, I mean, what has Nintendo done with Metroid?
Oh, man. Another M, right?
Yeah.
Or Other M?
Other M, yeah. And I skipped that one. I never really played the Metroid Prime series because I thought they were shooters. And I was like, I'm not good at those. But, I mean...
Metroid Prime scared me.
What?
I was not too young, but I played it on GameCube. And I was like, this is scary. I got it with my GameCube. There's some bundle with it. And I was pretty stoked. And then I was like, this is beautiful. And then I was at the point in my life where every first-person shooter scared the crap out of me. The other thing is, so this year, they have, fan categories for best esports player, best esports team, best esports game, and trending gamer. So trending gamer are like YouTube influencers, Twitch streamers, stuff like that, which I think that's interesting. I think they're trying to pull in a different sector of like the video game audience, you know? Sorry. So I think that's kind of interesting. I don't really watch a ton of esports. I respect what people are doing, and believe me, I'd love to make 50K off of a game I'm really good at, but that'll never happen. So no shade on them or anything, but I don't really know enough to say, hey, this is my favorite player.
Like, really, the extent of esports that I watch is, I mean, what, EVO, like, fighting game tournaments?
Just because
it's crazy watching those things. But, like, I can't really do, like, RTS is bore me.
Yeah.
So I can't do like StarCraft.
Don't say that. Don't say people. We love StarCraft. No one get mad. No one get mad.
I'm really bad and salty. I'm sorry.
Yeah. We don't hate the game at all. We're just, I don't want StarCraft people to be mad. Please like us. But no, I get what you're saying. I've watched like the Overwatch Open and stuff, which now Overwatch has its own league, which has a super cool logo. But I mean, I think they're just trying to maybe bring in a younger audience with that.
Right.
Because I don't know if there are a ton of people our age who watch a lot of streaming and stuff like that. But I definitely get into it. Like when I find someone I like that's a good personality or something and they're streaming a game I like, I'll sit down and watch them for a little while, sub or something. So that's always fun.
And then you said, what was it? Competitive game was a category?
Best esports game.
Okay.
What we got there? I actually didn't look at the nominees into that. I'm going to assume it's going to have like Dota or something.
From what I saw, I know I saw they had a category for fighting games, I believe.
Yeah.
And they had like all the fighting games that came out this year. And I mean, Street Fighter V was one of them. And then King of Fighters 14. And I'm like, eh.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing that I forgot to mention. So with the removal of those two fan-created games, mm-hmm. it actually only leaves two nominees in that category.
Was it Brutal Doom 64?
Yeah. And Enderal, The Shards of Order.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know a ton about that. I don't know. And I think these are all, they're not jury selected. So I think a lot of people are just going to go with Doom 64. Mm-hmm. I think people are going to kind of get that. So the other thing that we saw and kind of shook our heads at this week was the Resident Evil 7 Collector's Edition.
Oh, my God.
Which I know you're stoked about, right? You're a big collector's edition guy.
Yeah, I was, and then I'm kind of like gonna contradict myself here after we talk about the Resident Evil stuff because I want to talk about other collector's editions.
Yep.
But do you know you saw what comes with it, right?
Yeah. So I actually wrote it down.
I was really stoked about it at first, and like just because it's like different things.
Oh boy!
Oh man!
So here are the contents, the game. That makes sense.
Okay, I hope so, because, no.
An 8-inch tall mansion music box with LEDs.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there. 8-inch tall, right? Pretty decent size. I collect figures, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty nice size. And it's a music box. And for people that like Resident Evil,
it's cool,
right?
Concept.
Music in Resident Evil is pretty great. Keep going. I'll go back to that.
An exclusive metal case.
And that is that just the case, or is that the VHS?
Hold on.
Because I don't know what that does.
So next is a VHS tape box.
Is it just a box?
I think it's just a box. Here's my assumption, right? So you get the game. It comes in a regular plastic case. You remove it from that case, and then you put it in the metal case, and then the metal case goes in a VHS box.
Oh my God.
That's my assumption. I could be wrong.
See, I was kind of hoping it was an actual VHS, like at least of the intro, and then you can pop it into your like old TV combination VHS player, and then you can watch and you're like,
which
this is good.
We all
nice.
Have. Yeah, this is fun. And then watch 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah.
This one's fun. A 4 GB dummy finger flash drive. So if you ever want to have a flash drive that looks like a severed finger and be out in public just looking like a weirdo, I guess that's it. And also 4 gigs. What am I doing with 4 gigs?
Like, 4 gigs. I'm less bothered by the fact that it's a gross finger than it is a 4 gig, you know, drive. Because I'm like, what, you can get like a 16 gig? Hell, even more than that for what, less than $20 maybe?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A 4 gig flash drive is like $4. Premium packaging, which I assume just means it comes in a box that fits everything.
Yeah.
And my favorite, something only described as creepy note.
So they say the word, every time that there's a collector's edition and they say the word, was it lithogram?
Oh yeah, I skipped that. So it is an exclusive
note?
Lithograph. No, this
lithograph,
is...
Lithograph, my bad, I'm dumb. But what is a lithograph?
So I have no clue. I'm gonna look it up.
Why don't they just say postcard? Is it so it doesn't sound like it's a postcard, or
is that what I've never even looked? Okay. So according to Google, a lithograph is a lithographic print. So that's
a postcard.
So that's very helpful. It looks like meaning stone is a method of printing oil and water on a metal plate. Something like that. So it looks like a painting on a plate, but it's my thing is what's the build quality of any of this stuff?
Okay. I'll talk about that. I'll talk about it after I start talking about the collector's edition, but how many items is that?
So that is in total, if you're I'm just counting everything that's okay, listed, yeah, including the premium packaging.
Mm-hmm.
8 things.
Okay. For how much?
It is $180.
$180. The game's 60, right?
Yes.
So you're paying how much for all the others? First of all, for a 4 gig finger drive.
I want the listeners to know Jose wagged his finger like in a come hither motion. Yeah, so for $130, you get 2 different types of cases. A flash drive, a note, which I can write you a creepy note if you want to give me $50, and the music box, the mansion music box, which you said you wanted to get back on that, right?
Yeah, so I'm like, 8 inches, I've paid a decent amount of money for figures that are a little bit shorter than that, but it's a house.
It's a house.
It's a house, and like I said, I'd go back to like other, are we done with the Resident Evil one?
Well, hold on. So okay. I want to say, all right, so are you mad that your other figures can't go inside the house?
Yeah, actually.
You want it to be like to scale with your other figures.
Yeah.
So you want like Judy.
I have a 10 inch tall Raiden figure from Metal Gear Rising.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't fit into that house.
It would dominate that
house.
Can
you at least open the door in that house?
It would be a Godzilla. I think you can just open the roof. And then it plays music.
Okay.
But it has LEDs, dude.
Okay. Does it really?
Yeah.
Did you say that?
Yeah, it says LEDs. It says an 8-inch tall mansion music box with LEDs.
But like you said about the build quality, you know, collector's editions aren't that great.
No.
With their build quality.
Did you ever see the Dark Souls 3 collector's edition?
Yeah.
It came with a potion that looked like a purple chicken nugget with a spout on it. So that was interesting.
But, I mean, do you remember the collector's edition for Resident Evil 5?
No, I don't.
It was... I forget everything else other than the one thing that I'm going to talk about right now. It came with an Africa Africa necklace.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking like the whole continent of like Africa was on the necklace. Like,
yeah.
Continent right there. Mm-hmm. Africa. That's it. That was like the big thing in there. And then it came like with a patch.
And a flash drive.
It probably did it.
It was only 2 gigs.
Oh my.
No, I have no clue. But I would like if all of the Resident Evil games came with a flash drive.
I don't know. It's just Resident Evil's collector's editions, I don't think have been very good.
No. I
like actually the chainsaw controller wasn't even part of the...
That was weird.
Edition. Yeah.
That was the... Yeah, Resident Evil 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was strange. The thing that gets me, and we'll get back to you being a collector's edition guy. this is... It's so weird because people always talk about, like, I'm not going to pre-order or I shouldn't pre-order. Or don't get the collector's editions or whatever it may be. Which I've bought maybe, like, 2 or 3 collector's editions my whole life. And generally that comes with a season pass, and I do it to save money.
Right.
Like with Fallout 4, I knew I was going to get the DLC. You might as well save like $30 with the whole thing.
Well, at least with like Fallout 4, that came with the Pip-Boy, right?
Or was that no, separate? So I didn't get that crazy one. So
okay.
that's exactly
what
I thought.
That one was pretty cool.
It's cool, but that's exactly what I was getting to. But sometimes even worse, you have games like Call of Duty, which right now Infinite Warfare has a couple of different versions out. There's one for $60, which is the base one. There's a $75 one, and I believe there's a $150 edition. And stuff like that is crazy. Like, I got the Fallout 4 one that came with Pip-Boy socks and and just the season pass. That's all I cared about. And I got it on some sort of deal where I got it for like $60. So why wouldn't I? That's the price of the regular game, you know? But when you have versions like that for $150, like, have you ever bought any of those? Like, ones that come with a figure or something and they cost that much?
Yeah.
Like what?
I bought the Street Fighter one.
What did that come with?
A really bad Ryu statue, I think.
Oh,
it was
yeah?
I think it was the 25th anniversary one. I think that's what it was.
That was the statue that was just of Spawn, and
yeah,
they repainted
Spawn.
It to look
yeah,
like Ryu.
Yeah, to look like Ryu. But after that, like, I've started noticing that the figures
mm-hmm.
and collector's editions, they're not good.
Yeah.
And I've noticed the eyes, they're super wonky.
Oh, no.
Like, have you seen the Last of Us statue?
No.
Oh,
is it Joel Ellie. With... No, oh, it's Ellie. Oh, well, I think Joel I may have seen Ellie, that. Yeah.
But Ellie looks so just...
She's out of it.
Yeah, she's out of it.
So, have you bought any recently?
I bought the Odin Sphere one, actually, and I swore after I bought it, I was like, I'm swearing off of Collector's Edition.
And are you going to do, like, a Final Fantasy 15 Collector's Edition or anything?
No, that one was crazy.
It
came with the PlayArt's Kai of Noctis. I don't know if they changed his name to Noct or something now, but it,
yeah.
It came with a lot of stuff. But I was like, I'm not even going to bother with it.
I'm a firm proponent of no collector's editions, unless it's just something crazy. Like, I get the Fallout 4 Pip-Boy. Like, right. I think it was $150. Like, I understand that. Like, that's kind of cool. You're going to put it up, and that is going to have okay build quality, and you can wear it, which is kind of interesting. Put your phone in it, which is kind of interesting. But a lot of these don't really offer anything.
So, like, the reason I swore off of the Odin Sphere one, or a collector's edition after buying Odin Sphere,
mm-hmm.
is it came with a shirt.
Ooh, was it a double XL shirt?
It was a large, okay. Right? And I'm not like a big guy. That's not going to fit.
Jose is 4'8", 110 pounds. And I just
wanted a small so I can wear little anthropomorphic chili pepper that's on the shirt. And that's all that was on is like chili pepper and like a vial and stuff like that. But
so you went to get it tailored, I assume.
No.
Oh, man. That was where you messed up.
And it's just there. And it came with, like, an art book and stuff like that. And the art in Odin Sphere is beautiful, but...
Didn't you not love the game?
Oh, I love the game.
Oh, did you?
I
okay.
love Odin Sphere. But after that, I swore off of them, but...
So do you think you're going to keep that?
No.
Until the next big game
Persona
comes out?
5
well, you also
a pretty good collector's edition that I want.
What comes with that? Do you know?
It comes with the bag.
Ooh, a bag?
Yeah, like the school bag.
I love bags!
Which... And it comes with the plushie that my plushie of the mascot character that my girlfriend wants. I'm like, whatever. But like the big thing with Persona is their music.
Oh yeah.
And it comes with the soundtrack.
Is it vinyl or is it just a CD
it's
or what is
a
it?
It's just a CD.
Okay.
But the thing that I've been kind of burned off of is that the Persona 4, the original Persona 4, came with the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
It came with disc 1 of the soundtrack though. Only disc 1. It didn't come with disc 2.
Really? That's weird. Yeah, see, and you're also someone who still pre-orders games.
Yeah.
Which I don't get it. They're not running out.
Well, for me, it's just so I can be like, okay, I set aside this money for this game. I'm going to put it towards the game and then just don't worry about
just
it.
Just give it to me.
Yeah, but then I have to come to your house and then go pick up the game.
No, I'll just keep your money. Then you don't have to worry about it. Yeah, I don't pre-order games. It's, you know, if you want to, whatever. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Right,
you're an adult. You have your money. But I don't do it just because I feel like stuff like this happens where they con people out of $150 or something.
Well, for Pokemon, I pre-ordered that because I wanted the sweet
posters.
Excuse
me, it's Pokemon.
Pokemon, sorry. Yeah. Pokemon. Pokemon Star. That's how you say it.
Ooh. Yeah, so I don't pre-order anything, especially a lot of stuff you get now is digital. You're going to tell me I need to pre-order, like iTunes will tell me, hey, this music's coming out, you should pre-order. And I'm like, no.
Well... I actually kind of like the idea of pre-ordering digital, like from the PlayStation Store,
mm-hmm.
because it'll download the game 3 days before the game comes out, I think.
Oh, yeah, the pre-installation stuff.
Yeah, because that's what I did with Street Fighter, which still didn't work for me because the servers were, you know, destroyed when I tried playing it, but...
Yeah, I'm sure that'll win Best Fighter, because people love it. All right, moving on from that. There were a couple of new tidbits about Mass Effect Andromeda, right?
Mm-hmm.
So were you a big Mass Effect fan?
I was not, but I'm actually kind of hoping they come out with like a remastered version for...
Yeah, I feel like they are. And this is a show where once we start, unless it's about lithographs, we can't do any research.
Right.
Because that's no fun. But I feel like they are, or they have, but I really want to get back into it. I know people were kind of upset with... I was gonna say Fallout 3.
Okay,
with people were kind of upset with Mass Effect 3 because of the ending, mm-hmm. and then they sort of changed that after the fact with a patch and said, right. "Well, this is how it is now." But yeah, I'm excited. I want to play those, but it's like, can I get through 3 games to get to Andromeda?
Well, I've heard people talk about them on forums, and I pretty much would just blaze through the first one and not do any of the side quests. Same with, I believe, with the second one, and then just pick up on the third one.
Yeah, I've heard some people just say skip two.
Really?
Yeah, because...
I know people say that's like their favorite game, but...
Really? Because I know a lot of people who basically say, well, one, you're just kind of getting into this universe and you're learning about these people and you're getting all these relationships. And of course, you kind of want to do two and three to transfer over your saves. But people are saying, you know, as in any trilogy, the middle, it might have some good points, but it's the middle, you know? Mm-hmm. So you don't have the beginning luxury of being like, oh, this is all new, or the end of it reaching this climax. It's just all the stuff in the middle. All
right. So the extent of Mass Effect knowledge that I have is thanks to our friend Justin.
Yeah.
He showed me a lot of cutscenes and he tried to convince me to play
it. Justin, we'll have him on one day. He loves every video game, I think. We'll have him on a special episode about games that people love to hate, basically. But he plays every type of game and plays it a lot. I'm jealous of him, really. Like, he goes between, like, Destiny and Diablo 3 and then to Overwatch and then... Anyway, continue. He loves Mass Effect.
Diablo 3 was really good.
Yeah, let's not get into that. But anyway, you're saying you know most of it from Justin.
Yeah. So, like, I know a few of the characters, and by what he's told me, he makes me want to play it.
Yeah.
Just so I have the character interactions, but I don't really want to play
it. You want to have sex with characters.
Yes.
It's the same way. I don't know if he's just a good storyteller when it comes to that stuff, or if he's just real passionate about it, or if it's actually fun. Because I feel like I could make Fallout 4 sound really interesting to you, but then you'd play it and be like, no, not my jam, not what I'm into. But I did see that one of the producers, Michael Gamble, told OPM UK that basically the premise of this one is mostly about exploration, galactic exploration, and that he stayed pretty vague, but he said that it's about a crew of very different people from very different worlds that come together and kind of have to work this out, which can sound super cheesy, but I mean, that sounds good. We need that. You come together. Oh, and I think he said, everyone working toward the common good, which is sort of a hint about, okay, I guess there's some crazy big thing happening and now that's threatening the whole universe, the whole galaxy.
And then I believe he mentioned something about certain races coming back, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So I know people dig Gareth is one of the characters, and everybody loved him, Tali, and they were all specific races, and I know they're going to come back.
Yeah, and he also said that there was going to be a lot more verticality to the game. Like, literally, like, he wants it to be a much more open space, and he said that he wants people to play it and say, oh, can we do that? Can we go there? How do we get there? I wonder if we can do that. And then, generally, he wants the answer to be, yeah, you can, and you should.
Well, I'm hoping, he said, like, to give it some verticality, but I'm hoping it's not just, like, some, I don't know, like, it's gonna be, like, quick-timey, I feel, maybe.
You think so?
Because from the trailer, that little tiny tidbit of that trailer was the character, like, boosting with a jetpack at the edge of something, and I didn't see a prompt, really, but, you know, I feel like it's gonna be something like how Tomb Raider tells you to cling on to things.
And not fall down a river and get impaled through your lower jaw.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I'm excited about it. If I feel that I can kind of just jump into it and not worry about it too much, that'll be great. If I don't have to worry about the last three, it's kind of rough. I've been going through this thing in my head of like, do I go back and play all these games I still have on the 360 and the PS3, or do I kind of move forward? And I haven't gotten to them in like a year now. Do I just give up on them? That kind of thing, you know?
Like, if they do come out with the PS4 version for them, I think I'd pick it up, probably.
The trilogy? I mean, it seems really worth the $60, especially if it comes with all three and with all the DLC. Like, that's kind of an unbeatable thing.
Right, right.
It's just, I don't know if I have 100 plus hours to commit anymore.
Yeah.
That's what gets kind of rough.
Especially for three games.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to, but I don't know. But also this week, one thing that I think, I don't know how you feel about it leaking, but one thing you're excited about, Final Fantasy 15.
Yep.
So a big, big week for leaks. Leak week is what I call it.
Like, what was it? I don't know, it leaking, it's weird because I know people get games before, like, they break street date every now and then. Mostly I've seen Call of Duty do that a lot,
yeah,
but like with something so story heavy, it's kind of rough because you have to stay away from like the certain sites that you go to just so you don't see, you know, spoilers. And I know the director actually said something about it.
Yeah.
It's pretty much don't be a dick.
Yeah. Hajime,
don't spoil it for everybody.
Hajime Tabata said he knows that some games have gotten out there, but he hopes that people will be respectful of others when it comes to spoilers. And he basically, yeah, like you said, he said, don't be an asshole about it. Let people learn on their own.
Yeah.
Cause I don't get there seems to be some culture around ruining it for yourself or others. Like people who, like I talked about, I don't even watch trailers for movies anymore that I'm excited about. I never watched like the Force Awakens trailer or anything. I went into that dry, which was great. That's a weird phrase. went into that dry. Yeah. I don't love that. So people who decide I'm going to read all the leaks and just kind of ruin it for myself, I don't understand that.
Right. Like, especially for something so story heavy, like you're paying what, $60, sometimes even more if you do the collector's edition,
which you will.
I'm not gonna do that for Final Fantasy 15. That's too much. But I don't know, like I couldn't see myself liking like the game to its full extent if I already know what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Like at least with the very story driven one, like Dark Souls, all their stories and the items.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't really see that unless you read like a wiki page, but
yeah. Do you sit down and read about, you know, the items and the books and stuff? Do you really? I've never been able to do that.
Well, the good thing about that is that they're not like large things to read in Dark Souls. It's not like eight paragraphs.
It's like a paragraph chunk. Tidbit,
and then you get that part, and then the rest is just speculation. And like the community for Dark Souls, they have theories and stuff like that make sense that go along with each of the items and each boss that you beat and stuff like that.
So it's a little different. I know we're kind of going off on a tangent, but when I played Until Dawn, which is obviously, you know, a sort of you find clues throughout the whole game,
right?
And when you do that, both literally and figuratively, everything sort of comes together. So you find different notes, different clues, whatever, and then if you actually find all of the clues, a meter on the bottom of your screen actually fills up, and then you can play a video that explains the whole history of the mountain and what's been going on aside from all the cool individual stuff you found. And I found that to be really, really great, actually.
Right.
But I don't get why people just want to say, I know I could wait and play this and enjoy it. I'd like to ruin the climactic ending and just sort of play through a game that I know how it's going to end.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I'm going to do like a comparison to another game.
Mm-hmm.
Persona 5 is out in Japan already.
Yeah.
No one has tried to spoil it.
Yeah.
The guy, the director or the Atlas guy who's like, yeah, don't spoil it. Everybody must enjoy it at their own pace and stuff like that. And
when
it's tried, everyone's been pretty respectful.
And when it comes out here, it'll have been out for like over a year at that point, right? Or close to it?
Close to it, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be out. Oh, yeah. April. It got delayed
until April, like April 15th or something, which it's not going to ruin Valentine's Day for anyone now.
For me, it is.
Yeah, I forgot you love Persona more than you love your girlfriend.
Well, we're going to play it together, but...
She was going to watch you play it.
yeah, buddy.
Her favorite thing to do is browse like Pinterest and watch you play a video game. She loves it. Yeah, so I mean, I'll probably wait to hear what you think about it and then kind of decide what I want to do. I'm very interested. I'm super interested. But
I hope it's good.
I want it to be good. And
the last Final Fantasy that I liked was probably 9.
I haven't gotten super into a Final Fantasy game since 6.
Mm.
And
you're way off, man.
Yeah, I know.
Like a totally different
I've
Final
been
Fantasy
gone
there.
For a while. I think that game came out when I was like 4 or something crazy, and I didn't play it until I was a young teenager, like 12 or something. But that really grabbed me, and since then I haven't really been grabbed by any of the 3D ones.
I've been grabbed by the Ghoulies.
Ooh, speaking of grabbed by the Ghoulies, this is something that we didn't talk about, but it appears that Hello Games, creators of No Man's Sky.
Oh.
Yeah, so they finally broke in like a month-long silence. Like, they haven't tweeted, they haven't come out with any sort of press release or anything like that. I think they're mostly hiding from death threats from idiots. And if you're
That's so rough. I mean, the game's not as... It didn't meet expectations, but come on.
My thing is, I don't care if you paid $500 for that game. you don't tell someone you're going to kill them because you didn't like the game.
Right.
Or it wasn't what they promised.
And the guy who paid, what, was it a grand to get it, like, early from eBay? He didn't really have any problem with it. He was just like, oh, I'm farming all this stuff, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah. But they finally came out and said that they're releasing what they called the Foundation Update. Because they've added the foundation of base building, and also because this is putting in place a foundation for things to come. So it basically seems like, obviously, they can't just wipe the slate clean.
Right.
But they're like, this is our new foundation. We're going to build from this. And Hello Games, they're not a big studio. No, like, it's not a ton of people.
They were an indie studio.
Yeah, the fact that this even came out.
Like 6-5 people, and then Sony was like, we're going to take you in. Now we want you to make all this, and like,
the fact that this even came out on a disc and got all this press and unfortunately all of this hate is pretty incredible for them. I can just imagine that roller coaster of emotions for them where they're such a small, you know, developer get brought in. Yeah. And then you just get beat for it. And I don't know. I'd love to one day hear that, like, oh, it's good to get now. You should get it. They've built so much into it that it's great, but I've seen it played. Our friend Justin, again, he played it. He got it day one, got really interested for 2 days, and then it kind of dropped off for him. And I think he revisits it occasionally, kind of hoping for that update that they're talking about. So I really want it to turn into something that I could see myself loving.
Right. But I mean, I don't know, it's one of those things where it's like one of those games, kind of like how Destiny, like everybody loved it at first, but it didn't have enough.
Yeah.
What people's expectations were too high of it. And I can see why their expectations were too high, because they spoke too highly of it.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Very highly about
it. It was Bungie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, and that name alone comes with so much hype behind it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you think about Halo before it went to 343 and stuff, people loved Bungie. People loved hearing that name, and you hear it, and you're like, oh, that's... they got it. Like, if you're a Naughty Dog, you're like, well, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
They haven't released a bad game in a while now.
Yeah.
Do you think they can come back from this pitfall?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they can.
Yeah.
Because I think... because Destiny came back.
But Destiny... people were upset with it, that it didn't have quite what it offered.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that's on a different level.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a smaller scope, I guess. But, I mean, what they had... plan for it is, or what people's expectations were an MMO. They wanted a big open world for it.
Well, and they were unfortunately they were told that there would be some sort of interaction with other players flat out
at No Man's Sky.
I think it was on Conan or something.
I don't know. I know I've heard people talk about the fact that he's like, well, it still has multiplayer, but it's, you won't find them because the chances are super slim. And there had been videos of people at the exact same spot, the exact same planet, and then not seeing each other.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a lie, right?
Yeah.
At that point, you're lying.
I think that's the thing, is there's definitely a difference between a sort of hype and sort of, you know, vague information that may make me think I can run into someone else, and then straight up saying, oh, yeah, you can do that.
Right.
Because that's a little more damning when it comes back to it. I think regardless, though, there's too much hate to these developers... to Hello Games, and like I said, threatening people, death threats, like it's not that deep, guys. Like, I bought bad games before.
Yeah.
I in my life I've spent hundreds of dollars on bad games, I'm sure of it. And luckily at some point I became more scrupulous, and I would wait for reviews, and I'd wait to, you know, play it or whatever. Or, you know, I'd hear it from Jose if this is good or not. And I
still buy bad games at full price.
Yeah. And
I'm not mad.
Yeah. So the idea of, if you're doing that, don't do that. That's bad. Stop it.
Yeah.
All right. So you got anything else for us today? Anything else burning a hole through your little noggin there?
Catherine had a really good collector's edition.
Oh, my God.
It came with boxers.
Fit
me, but they came with, like, boxers.
It was, like, heart boxers, right?
Boxers, and it came with a shirt, I believe.
Was it a 2XL?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it came... no, it didn't come with the shirt. It came with a body pillow.
Okay.
No, it wasn't even a body pillow. It was just a regular-sized pillow with Catherine with the
but
C on it.
But as we talked about before in the... Oh, maybe we didn't. You're a very small man, so a regular pillow is, like, a body pillow.
And then... There's been some other bad ones. Like, have you ever heard of Record of Agarest War?
I'm going to say yes, but no.
Okay, so it came with a mouse pad.
Booby mouse pad?
A booby mouse pad.
Booby mouse pad, baby.
And the girl was covered in ice cream. Vanilla ice cream.
Like the mouse was or the girl?
The girl in the mouse pad.
You need to get her out. Was
covered in vanilla ice cream.
Uh-huh.
As in...
I don't get what that's suggesting. Not
vanilla ice cream.
I don't think that's suggestive at all. I think she's probably upset she spilled her vanilla ice cream on her.
Yeah. She was very embarrassed, I'll say that.
Wouldn't you be? What if you were walking down the boardwalk here in Indiana next to our famous lakes?
Yeah, the famous Indiana lakes.
We have, what are the lakes here? We have Lake Inferior.
And Lake Almost as good as that one.
And I think we have Lake... I think there's one just called Lake Chickenfoot.
Lake Chickenfoot.
That one might be real, actually.
Oh, man. Our founders weren't too great.
I don't know if you... We actually live near this river that at certain points it rushes. So the river is white. And what's that river called here?
The Rush River, right?
Yes, the Rush River. Okay, so you got Catherine off your brain. What else?
I think that's it.
That's it for you?
Yeah.
All right. So, guys, thanks for listening. Hopefully, this was better than the last one. It's only going to get better, or so we hope. So, hopefully, you'll stay with us long enough for you to grow to love us as much as, you know, we love you. If you want to send us an email, you can do that at 2bitpod. That's the number 2bitpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter and soon, hopefully, Instagram at 2bitpodcast. Again, that's the number 2. Jose, you got anything to plug?
No, not really, no.
Go see Jose at his job. We won't tell you where it is, but go say hi to him and say, hey, man, I like your hat. All right, so for 2Bit, I've been Scott Petty.
And I was Jose Murguia.
Bye, babies.
Bye.